Welcome back to the Silva Harapetyan Show. We are talking to Ray Mirzabegyan. We are talking about cannabis today.
I started thinking outside of the box and said, what else can I do? What else can I do? So I started traveling to Colorado myself in hopes of, you know, pulling an Armenian again, like smuggling something back to LA, or, you know, I didn't care about the legal aspect of it. So I went a few times and I met the Sand Brothers, wonderful family. And, after, I don't know, 7 or 8 visits, I was able to bring CBD oil back from Colorado to California, driving back, give it to my daughter. Didn't know what I'm doing. I was just giving her a lot of CBD. This was a whole concentrate. And listen, my daughter was having about probably 45 seizures a day at the point, at this time. Gave her the CBD. 2-3 days into it, she had one seizure that day. That's it. Few days later, she had a day with no seizures. And just like few days after that, we had like few days of no seizures. Like, what the hell? I was shocked. It was just insane. It was surreal. I was like, is this really happening? Like, this wasn't BS. You know, after everything we gone through, after all the FDA and non-FDA approved protocols and everything we tried and failed, how can a plant or a extract be this effective? It's magic. And it was. It literally saved my daughter's life.
Wow.
And it was the beginning of this journey of saving her life, making her medication free, getting her off of all those nasty medications, giving her a quality of life that she didn't have for the last 10 years. And, along the way, just to talk about that journey of how hard it was. You know, I used to fly to Colorado and rent a car and drive back, smuggling 2-3 syringes of concentrate. And one day, I used to drive through Albuquerque, New Mexico, all the way through Arizona to California. The shorter route was Utah and Nevada, but those two states had an extremely tough cannabis policy and would be arrested and gone to jail on the spot. So I would skip those and drive 14 hours to get around that area. And I would drive back, and one day I got pulled over by an agricultural officer at the border of Arizona and California. And there was nothing in the car, it was just me and this rental Colorado plate car, no bags, nothing. And I had a paper bag of 3 syringes with concentrates under the driver's seat. And she said, "Where you come from Colorado?" I said, "Yes, what were you doing there?" Yeah, I gave her a story. I said, I went there for a friend's funeral. I can't fly, I hate flying. And she said, "No bags, nothing." I said, "No, it was just a round trip. I have to go back to work." So she didn't buy it. She told me to exit the car, search the car. She found those cannabis oils. And she was a white, middle-aged officer. She was a female officer. A mother, I can tell. Because of her reaction. Because when she was holding those syringes, the only thing I was thinking was, okay, this is a federal crime that I just got caught with. And this would mean I'm going to federal prison now. And so I lost it. I just spilled out my life story, showed her pictures, started crying, and gave her the entire spiel of what I'm doing,
Wow.
And she cried. She cried with me. And she just handed me a piece of paper that says the laws, you're not supposed to import anything from other states, plants, all this stuff. She said, obviously, this is completely at a different level. She hugged me. She said, she gave me back the oil. She said, good luck. Go home.
Wow.
But that, it was crazy. But what happened was, that was the sort of wake-up call for me to say, hey, in trying to save my daughter's life, I can't end up in federal prison because then she's going to suffer even more, and we're all going to suffer. So this is not the right way of going about this. And so then I had to rethink this whole thing, right? Like, okay, now what? Now what am I going to do? At this point, it's helping my daughter. She's doing great. I can't run out of this oil. And that's where this whole transfer of, like, journey of changing my career, getting deeply involved in this and recreating myself and a new career in here started. Because that's the only choice I had. You know, I had to make it happen here, or I had to pack up and move to Colorado, basically. And that's what I did. I just dived deep into this industry. 2012, I started a nonprofit foundation first with the help of some friends in Colorado who had the same foundation there. It was called the Realm of Caring Foundation. And the reason I did that was before I started this foundation, I was talking to the Stanley Brothers, telling them, hey, I am changing my career. I'm going to focus on helping you guys make this available in California. We have to do everything we can to make it happen, because not every person in California that needs you can relocate to Colorado. And then, because the CNN documentary was following them still, we, in the city of Glendale, we rented a hall, and we announced that there is activities towards launching the Charlotte's Web strain in California, and that we are working on it. And so we brought the Stanley Brothers, I flew them all from Colorado. Charlotte, that little girl's mom, the folks from Realm of Caring, flew them all down from Colorado to California, brought them into this hall, and we invited the parents and the families of the kids with epilepsy to come in so that we can do a news press with CNN and announce that now we have started working on, you know, coming to California. And 540 families with kids on wheelchairs and in this packed room started working. We got to work. You know, the guys taught me and my team and my brothers everything: how to cultivate cannabis and how to extract cannabis, how to, you know, test it, make it clean and pure, and everything. You know, within, I would tell you, a short period of time, let's say about, God, 6 months, we were harvesting our first crop. Extracting the CBD oil out of it, you know, diluting and making this tincture, sending it for lab testing. And about less than a year after that news conference, we were ready to start helping some people. And you know, through this process, I launched this nonprofit foundation because I realized that this community, like me as a parent, don't have any resources. We can't go to a dispensary, especially back then, and say, hey, Miss Bartender, I need to save my child's life. What can you give me? You know, the doctors didn't know anything about it. The medical community, clueless. And so those resources didn't exist. Created this nonprofit. We started offering consultations, coachings, grants to people who can't afford to buy this stuff. Partnered up with some universities and started doing observational research registries and collecting data. So by this time, Emily has been getting the CBD oil. She's almost seizure-free. She's experienced 80% reduction in seizures. She's come off of half of her medications. National Geographic has done a documentary on Emily. They've done two of them. This was the first one. And so my story, Emily's story, has already been published, and people are so hopeful. And so all the resources and the powers and everything came together, and laws changed, a lot of lobbying and advocacy happened. Stanley Brothers were able to now ship this from Colorado to anywhere. That changed the entire, you know, landscape. And a year after that, there was another waiting list. And there is no waiting list anymore. And everybody started getting access to this. And then you saw all this crazy success stories coming out. And then it went from epilepsy to ADHD and to autism and to other problems. And then through the Johns Hopkins University Research Registry and other university partnerships, they found out that, hey, it's not just neurological conditions, it's inflammation-based conditions. It's a very strong anti-inflammatory. So, hey, let's see. Let's look at the research on arthritis, and let's look at fibromyalgia and everything that could be inflammation-based, which is everything, right? So inflammation is this umbrella under which every condition goes under. And we started helping anybody that needed help. And then we started recording successes in other areas. You know, I've been able to collect observational data on many conditions and be able to help people out if I can. And if I can't, I will tell them I can't. But that's what I do now. Emily is, as I said, 17. She's still having seizures. But it's manageable. It's once every maybe week to 10 days.
Yeah.
This is not a magic pill. This is not a magic potion. It's been around for thousands of years. Cannabis has a massive history. It goes back to the Egyptians and even further back. What it is it's a natural quality of life supplement. Because cannabis is a quality of life program. That's what it is.
Yeah.
What I can offer somebody that comes to me for coaching and help is not to cure or heal or get rid of their problem, but to enhance their quality of life,
yeah.
Which is extremely important. Because you know what it is, Siva? Unfortunately, when you go to a doctor for any problem that you may be having, the last thing that the medical community thinks about is your quality of life. The only thing they're really thinking about is the symptom you're having and how to treat that symptom, which is, that's the way it is, that's their protocol. So they'll give you prescriptions based on what symptoms you're having. You have back pain, prescription. You have a migraine, you know, major prescription, which those prescriptions could potentially obviously help your migraine or your back pain. If the quality of life doesn't exist in the medical community, that's where we come in, and we are a quality of life program. We focus on giving you a quality of life back. And in the midst of doing that, there is some magic that happens. I don't know how. I mean, there is some science with cannabis. It's the endocannabinoid system. It's receptors that we have in our body that react and activate once you consume cannabinoids, and then they cause an antioxidant and anti-inflammatory effect. So that basic science is there. But why it helps some people, why it doesn't help others, is the same as Western medicine. You know, why is it that some medications help kids with epilepsy and 17 of them didn't help Emily?
Yeah.
So I started a company focusing on CBD products in all forms, capsules, topicals, tinctures, gummies, you name it. And the focus of this company was to make sure, because CBD is such a big buzz right now, and there's CBD pills being sold and CBD shoes being sold and everything. I wanted to focus on keeping this as medicinal as possible, that people should not lose focus on, yes, this could be looked at as a super supplement like turmeric or like, you know, some acai berry or whatever comes. This is a superfood, but it's also a medicinal product, and it can be treated as such, and it can be taken seriously in uses like my daughter's case. And so CW California was founded in 2014. Major activity started in 2017, and what it does is it focuses on high-quality medicinal-grade CBD products, distribution, manufacturing, the whole works, A to Z. And through CW California, we've been able to make CBD products in any form available to anybody within the United States that can buy it on our website and we can ship it to them. Through some research that was available, it was clear to us that it's not just CBD. As I said earlier, all these other cannabinoids also play a role. And so we focused on making THC tinctures for kids because it's such a stigma, right? It's such a sensitive topic and tough industry because it's federally illegal, but statewide it's legal. And we're talking about adults over 21. Now think about taking that and attacking that industry by giving the same product to children as young as 6 months old. It's
right.
My youngest patient. now you have some major legal issues. I mean, we're talking about bank accounts being shut down and life insurance policies being canceled on you and getting kicked out of. We're like gypsies. We're constantly moving because they're kicking us out of every city. And this is what has happened since 2017 and it's still happening today, where we are challenged with all these legal limitations of banking and insurance policies and everything.
I know you have changed lives. I mean, you not yeah. only changed Emily's life and your own life and your family's life, but you have changed other people's lives. But I know you are reciting the story of the step by step and walking us through the journey. But knowing the process and knowing where we come from, knowing having actually as a reporter done stories about what it takes to do some of the stuff that you've done, I have a great appreciation of the journey that you've been on. And I don't know if our listeners and viewers have the same kind of appreciation. I want to talk about some of the pushback. I want to talk about some of the, because you've talked a lot, said a lot today. You talked about vaccines. You talked about the medical industry and how patients are treated. You talked about the stigma of marijuana, THC, CBD oil, not just in general, but also to children. And then add the layer of the community and the stigma of what the community thinks about it. This is important because you do live in a very concentrated area in Los Angeles of an Armenian community, a Persian community that, you know, I think the younger generation is a little bit more open-minded, but the older generation, you try to tell one of our parents about how you use, you know, CBD to, you know, reduce pain, and they just look at you kind of sideways. Sure. So talk to me a little bit about all of that.
People are scared. I don't know why. They'll just completely close the door on you because you are involved with cannabis. And things are getting better because of the generation change and the new laws. Community and culture, the stigma is insane. I mean, our culture literally thinks cannabis is the devil's plant, you know, so you talk about it, you know, it's okay, though, because it takes all of that and somebody like me, and there's a lot of like me now, to change these minds and these perspectives. It takes somebody like Emily, and I can tell you, Emily and kids like Emily have changed so many people's perspective about cannabis. And we look at the CNN documentary on Charlotte. Charlotte changed cannabis internationally forever. I'm not just saying this, it's real. I mean, before Charlotte's story, there was massive, massive cannabis stigma attached to medicinal cannabis especially. And now, after that CNN documentary, it went on to 5 parts, then you had Time Magazine and National Geographic and every other big major media outlet that came and documented these children. And, you know, once you look at these kids' cases and you see the before and afters, you have to be open to it. You have to change your mind. And I know that Emily has changed so many people's minds, starting from my own parents, right? Because they are that older generation in the family. And to everybody else that I talk to. But it still exists. It's a work in progress. Unfortunately, with cannabis legal, there's a recreational side and there's a medicinal side. And people can choose or sometimes choose to only look and consider recreational side and completely discount the medicinal aspect of this medicine.
I think this is why it's so incredibly important to tell these stories, right? To tell the story of Charlotte, tell the story of Emily, not just her journey, but also your journey and the experience. I think that's why I asked you, how did this begin? Because if you didn't, if you don't know and don't see the journey, then you can't, we as humans can't relate to what it is that you're saying and the experience that you've had. So thank you for being so transparent and open and sharing
it. Thank you. I know you have a lot of questions. Please come and give us the opportunity or call us, give us the opportunity to help you out, to figure this out. And all you can do is try.